May I be the first to welcome you to a new visionary direction for the Giant Size Team Up Network. Launching this fall, the GSTU will be more than just a podcasting network. It will become a pioneer in mobile gaming with a lineup of exciting new games. First up, Breaking the Panel. Included on every new phone, this game will be the phone carrier's new favorite app. You play as your choice of Paul, Phil, Charles, or maybe even Chris, as you drop bombs of knowledge on evil white monsters. The best part is once the game is activated, it plays all the podcast episodes on a loop. It raises the volume to maximum levels and locks the phone so you can't turn it off. Eventually, the only way out is to destroy the phone, leading to a massive spike in phone sales. Botched a D&D Podcast is a game for at the bar. Roll the die, and if the result is too low, you have to drink. If it's a 1, the phone blows your arm off. Blazing Defender Report plays your favorite superhero Travis Jones as he puts out fires in this side-scroller. Don't forget to lift weights, drink coffee, or collect comic books, or the phone battery will melt. Pokemon Go Podcast is a sister app to the hugely popular Pokemon Go. Once activated, it locks your phone, forcing you to interact with other people and guaranteeing you catch just as many Pokemon as them. Geek Versus is a squad-oriented, turn-based FTP, FPS, MMORPG dating simulator that leads to real-life love, real-life DOTs, and 18 to 35-year escort missions. FTH Beyond is a game solely about loot boxes with your favorite Marvel superheroes. Whenever you open a box, it is narrated by the sultry voice of Kurt. Play this app even when it's not open, like in order to unlock your phone, send a text, go to the web, make a call, take a picture, record a video, or use any other application. Don't worry, all charges will go directly to your phone bill for ease of the player. Lastly, we have Toy Power, and we are very excited to announce that we have partnered with Pleasure Wrigglers to bring you an app for all ages. If you confirm that you are under 18 or you're just looking for toys, the app is like a GPS for the best deals for toys. Or, for the adults, it becomes a vibrating best friend. Plastic nonstick cover not included. So head on over to GiantSizeTeamUp.com to learn more about this exciting new direction for the network. And before fall... What? No. How are we being sued already? It doesn't even come out for like another 6 months. What? What do you mean it's led to too many deaths already? That... Screw it. We'll just keep doing podcasts, I guess. Bullcrap!
These days, the comic book owns pop culture. You'll find it all in the panel of your favorite comic book. Us, we're living the comic's life. We're breaking the panel.
And welcome to Breaking the Panel. I am the Rock God of podcasting, Charles Lafar. Ride Shotgun, my partner in Giant Size Team Up, my partner on the show, but never my partner in life because my wife is way better than he is, Paul Klotz.
Yeah, thank you. Hello. Yeah.
Riding next to Paul, also brand new partner in Giant Size Team Up. You're fired, Carl. Sorry. Phil, no, it's just
it's too real.
Phil Keating.
Too real, too soon.
Yeah, hey, Phil Keating.
Hi.
Hey,
it's
Phil.
It's my pleasure to be here.
I'm gonna get to our esteemed lady guest here because Travis Jones of the Blazing Defender, part of Giant Size Team Up Network, is streaming live as well, and the one of the coolest one of the. I hate you, Tony.
Be careful.
I hate you.
No. Charles.
Yes. Be careful here. Yes.
You have the opportunity to nail this or completely...
Phrasing? I didn't say that. That was my parent, Paul Klotz, who phrased it wrongly. But the person who is awesome, and we could not wait to have her here live at DragonCon, Jenna Garrett. Woo!
I don't know what I've done to make him think I'm cool.
You did your awesome content, and that worked out. But, wait, there's more. Coming all the way from downtown Atlanta, if it's in Kuwait, is our other partner, Chris Wisdom.
Woo! You got Chris?
Really?
Where'd your camera go, Chris? We had Chris.
Is he trying to be dramatic?
Probably driving.
I hope not.
He's probably driving.
So, anyway... Chris is supposed to be here. He's connected somehow. That was the ding-dong you heard. The ding-ding, whatever it was.
Well, if he speaks, we'll know the ding-dong's back.
But we tried to make it a surprise for you guys that we'd have all four of us here live at Dragon Con. So it's almost a surprise. It's almost working. But we're going to do the good, the bad, and the breaking the panel of Comet Flicks. We're all tasked to bring three villains, either worst or best villains, and three heroes, worst to best heroes, something like that. Paul, yeah, this
you,
is your
you
baby.
Know exactly what we were doing.
Here. I thought we were doing heroes and villains.
You did the description for this panel.
No, he did it.
Oh, that's shit. Why
I copied and pasted. And that's all I did. Tony's got you. All right, this was your idea. Explain what we're doing.
Okay, so we're gonna talk about our personal shortlist.
Can you hear us, Chris? Guys, this
is a top quality production.
Right. Yes, it's never yeah.
What's the idea? What's going on?
Okay, so we are going to talk about our personal shortlists, hopefully with some justifications for our favorite and least favorite comic book movie heroes, villains, and overall films. Now, I figure we can play it by ear a little bit, and we can cut some categories a little bit short, if possible, if we need to. But ultimately, I really want to dig in on what we really like more than what we hate. But you have to acknowledge the bad to make the good look so good, right? So, yeah. Charles?
I'm not about this.
Why don't we start with heroes? And I want your list. I'm stalling a little bit for
you
here.
We're going to do one at a time?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so I went, for me, a little old school. One of my favorite heroes was in, I always say it wrong, because I get confused with the game I played, but the Ben Stiller, Janine Garofalo film, was it
Mystery Man.
I always want to say Minuteman, like, no, Minuteman's all right. The Bowler. I love, just because of that awesome crystal skull inside of the ball, I love the Bowler, one of my favorite heroes. Thought it was cool.
I think that Mystery Men is one of the most underrated superhero movies of all time.
Same.
It's got an all-star cast from both villain and hero side, and Tom Waits is in it. Tom Waits is selling guns in a broken-down amusement park. I mean, then you have me sold already.
Yeah, the Tom Waits cameo is pretty dope. Phil, I'll go last.
All right.
Give us one of yours. Now, I'll stress, for me, mine are in no particular order. I don't know about these guys. You can quantify if you want.
So, I am a big Spider-Man fan. He is the best superhero in Marvel, and I identify with him, and I always have. Tom Holland's Spider-Man is ridiculously good.
Yes.
So good. Perfect casting, perfect awkwardness. It's
perfect spoilers.
But that's the charm of him, you know. But that too.
Yeah, his age,
also,
absolutely.
It was we've seen Spider-Man been beat up, since 2007 when Peter Parker turned emo for a while and shredded down the street.
But, don't say it.
But it was such a wonderful surprise to see them reboot with the correct Spider-Man and have it not be a complete disaster.
Yeah. I'm going to go now because you stole mine, my first one.
Oh, what was it?
It's Tom Holland's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stress a different angle. So a lot of people talk about how good or bad a Spider-Man is. We've had three in recent years. They're all actually pretty good as Spider-Man, but you probably have various feelings on that. What I want to stress is Tom Holland is probably the best Peter Parker we've had yet.
Correct.
Because he fits overall age, tone, the whole vibe in ways that Toby and Andrew Garfield did not. So that's why he's mine. Jenna?
I guess for my number one pick, it's going to have to be Tessa Thompson, Valkyrie, and Thor Ragnarok. Because that girl is great.
Ooh, that's a spicy pick. I like it.
Yeah, she's really cool. She's a drinking, boozing, cussing, hate in the world, V-I-T-C-H, that I just love. I love her so much. And then the fact that they took her version and put it into the comics because she was so well-loved, that was so cool.
And that's why you're on this panel with us.
I'm a chef.
That's a dope pick.
Yeah. Now notice, I get all agree for saying things wrong, being male, searching, da-da-da. I picked an awesome female hero. she picks an awesome female hero. White male misogynist right here.
You're the mystery man.
No, the bowler is Janine Garofalo. Fool, look it up.
All right.
Travis, what's your pick, man?
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and turn this up a little bit because I know Phil's going to have a connection and Chris too when I say this. It wouldn't have been my first pick, but he is in my top three. It's going to be Ben Affleck as Batman.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That pick.
I didn't get poo slung at me like I thought I would. I think he is by far the most gorgeous cinematic Batman we've had. I don't mean that in a homosexual way, which if I do, that's fine too, because he is a handsome man. But in the suit, he looks amazing. As Bruce Wayne, he looks amazing. That fight scene in the warehouse is by far the best fight scene we've ever seen Batman have on screen.
Wouldn't that be writing that did that?
And we took that from a video game, I'd like to know, Arkham.
Yeah,
what's your point? That's all good stuff, right? It's still Ben, guys. It's still Ben.
And how is that different from the Dark Knight trilogy? What's wrong with the action scenes?
They're awful. We're going to get to that, but and I'm sure Chris is about to have a stroke over in Kuwait right now because I said that. They hate that movie with a passion. Which the movie had flaws. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is Ben as Batman was by far, he's one of my top three cinematic superheroes.
This is the best thing in that movie for me.
Yeah.
By far.
I love it.
Wonder Woman.
That's true. Shame on me. Wow. You're right.
Misogynist.
You're right.
What a misogynist.
Yeah.
You're right. But I mean, there was so much backlash when they casted him. You know, for the 6 months or the year leading up to that movie actually coming out. People were pissed.
Oh, so mad.
And once again, you know, it was one of the shining lights of a series. And there's always an issue with that. With people were pissed that the Joker was being played by Heath Ledger.
I remember that.
Remember that? People were pissed. And that was the best thing in that movie. Yeah. So.
The very first controversy casting was actually, ironically, Michael Keaton as Batman.
Michael Keaton was as well. Yeah.
Ironically, the Batman series in general have all had controversy.
It's almost like nerds get really upset about their favorite properties.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, what is...
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Hold on a second. That's a little loud. What is one of your favorite... What is one of your top hero picks?
For portrayed in movies?
Yeah.
Does anybody hold a candle to Kevin Nash in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze? Super fan. No, seriously, though. You know me. I'm going to say Christopher Reeve every day.
Yeah, you are. You got one clap. You got one clap for that.
There's one lone voice of support.
I mean, that man alone, he was the right stature. Did he have the definition of today's Superman? No, but... He exuded all of those high ideals that Superman should, and he carried those with him. And that wasn't writing; that was Christopher Reeve putting those through in his acting and the way he carried himself, portrayed that character.
The way he would walk with that hunch and just be so unassuming. I mean, like you said, Chris, that was total acting right there. I mean, that was all Reeves. And I mean, I love Cav Hill as Superman. I think he looks amazing. But he really, I mean, even in the suit and the Metro suit or the planet, Daily Planet suit, sorry.
Right.
His reporter outfit or whatever. I mean, he still looks like a jacked 225 and whoop your ass. You know what I mean? Is that a good
sure.
Word?
Yeah. No, you're right. You're fine. And on that point, can we get rid of this hashtag, not my fill in the blank? That's getting old. I'm sorry. Christian Reeve was amazing. We are doing new films, and you don't have to like them. It's fine. I mean, Chris and I have gotten into it about BVS, and I'm not rehashing it, but when you go, hashtag not my Superman, hashtag not my... Come on, man. Get off that subway. Go watch something you do like instead of trying to hate on what I like.
So hashtag not my rock gun.
So you just had to bring up BVS, though.
What's our boy? He wouldn't feel
hey,
love.
Hey, I'm here. You have to, right?
Hey, Chris, I only bring up BVS about 20% of the time. That's not much. All right, to the next one. Or okay.
Yeah. Well, we can move on to our second picks. I guess I'll kick off this one. My second pick is MCU Cap, and probably for comparable reasons to Chris picking Reeves.
Fox Human Torch, you mean?
No. he was fine as a torch. You know, those movies weren't great, but they weren't terrible either. But for me, Chris Evans has portrayed the perfect cinematic Captain America.
I want to talk about that.
Nobody wants to talk about that.
Yeah. But, I mean, there's nothing to compare him to for that character. I'm going to pretend that nothing else has ever been done with it. But really, no. I mean, I couldn't imagine somebody doing it better. I couldn't imagine it feeling more genuine. I just can't imagine a better situation. And I think it's one of the best characterizations of a comic character in all of the films as being truthful to the source material.
Since you stole mine, absolutely. And you knew.
Yeah. Well, that's why I went first. Room.
What? I had no idea you even knew who Captain America was.
It's almost like
as soon as you said that, I wanted to cuss and kick the bucket.
It's almost like you walk around with a Captain America backpack and Captain America shoes.
You're red.
Yeah, I was pissed. I'm so mad. But no, you're absolutely right. And I'll be honest, being a huge Chris Evans fan, when they said that he was probably going to get that part, I was worried to death. Because I'm like, holy crap, Chris Evans is going to have to go in front of Robert Downey Jr., Chris Hemsworth, and he's going to have to pull off being the leader of this trio, of this Marvel trio. And even though I loved him in The Losers and the Fantastic Four movies, I thought, I don't know if he can do it. And then when I seen First Avenger, right, I was sold. And then Winter Soldier changed the game. Game of comic book movies from there on out. So, no, that's a great pick, Klotz. Great pick.
Thank you, buddy. Phil, how about you?
I'm pretty sure that this might be the best casting in all of MCU, and it's Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Yes, now, look, you can't get an argument there. Yeah.
I do not agree with his side of Civil War at all, but
what?
It's Team Cap.
Team Cap.
Hey.
Own your content. Have your rights.
What?
It's the podcast track. He didn't want to sign the contract. He wanted to be free. I just related it to podcasting. Keep up.
Go ahead, Phil.
Thank you. I mean, the man is Tony Stark. You know,
I don't think he's acting.
He's not.
All right. Like, wakes up Stark.
He used to have terrible problems with drugs, yes, alcohol,
exactly.
His life was falling apart, and it translates to Iron Man completely because they're living the same life. Yeah. And it's just, he's so good. And even the movies that he plays Iron Man were, some are not great.
Iron Man
exactly.
2. We're all making it.
Three for me. But sure. But he's just wonderful. And every time he comes out, even his little role in Homecoming was wonderful. And for me, you know, he's not my favorite, but I think he's definitely my top three and most perfect cast for a character.
Sure.
I like it.
Jenna?
My next one is going to have to be, if I can get my fingerprint to unlock my phone. Second! Oh, yeah. Taron Egerton in Kingsman as Eggsy Unwin. Yeah.
Oh, Eggsy! Yeah!
Love me some Eggsy. And that Taron Egerton, he like throws himself so hard into a role that you're I don't know who this kid is, but that's Eggsy.
What's he got coming up? He's got another action film coming up.
Well, I don't know about another action film, but he's going to be Elton John in the bio.
He definitely has an action film coming out, too. I mean, he's... Elton John is Batman.
Robin Hood.
I thought it was Assassin's Creed. It's actually a new take on Robin Hood. That's what it is. Yeah.
Because we needed another new take on Robin Hood.
But have you seen the preview, though?
Just make it Assassin's Creed like it is.
But have you seen the preview?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's cool.
I'm with you, Jenna.
That's cool.
So again, misogynist, good creators. Just say
Men in Tights, best Robin Hood adaptation. But clearly, the most faithful.
What is it? What is it about his portrayal of Eggsy that really got you?
He just really, like, when you see him, he seems like this kid who has been marginalized and been told that he's this young punk kid that's never going to amount to anything, and he wants to prove himself so hard, and you just see it in his eyes. You see it in his eyes when he plays Eggsy. It's so good.
So I had no familiarity with the source material, but I agree with you in that that all felt genuine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he really, in both films, he was able to portray like the street youth culture and that personality, and then he became sophisticated and capable while keeping a little bit of that edge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think it was a very convincing performance. And more than that, likable and entertaining, and he hits the comedy bits, all the beats for the comedy bits as well.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, it's a really, really good portrayal of a character. Yeah.
Well,
she needed a man's.
This is why we don't record in front of a live boxed audience.
Pipe down, heckler. I think that leads us to Chris. Chris, what about you, buddy?
Chris?
He's meditating.
Well, I'll tell you, I think since you guys are hitting all the high points on movies proper, I'm gonna have to go with Daredevil off the Netflix series.
Ah, yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. There's probably a delay.
Oh, there might be a bit of a delay. Chris is overseas right now, if that wasn't
can you hear me?
Abundantly clear.
I was going to give a thumbs up. We have no camera on this computer.
What is going on?
When this catches up, we heard you. We got you.
Okay.
Now he heard us. Well, I guess we're not going to be able to do anything about that delay, really.
No.
So, but he did say Daredevil. I think similar to the Cap casting.
God bless you.
Similar to the Cap casting, when he was initially announced, there was a lot of reservation because he was largely unknown, and he was a British actor, I believe British, from the UK, and that tends to put people, you know, because some of these Marvel characters are very specific characters that come from very specific backgrounds. With Murdoch, you know, the Catholicism and the New York City aspect. And it's really vital to those characters to capture that, unless you're doing an adaptation where you lift the mantle and go someplace else. And he killed it. You know what I mean? He, again, likable, and it hits the comedy bits well. That show in general, personally, his relationship with Foggy is one of my favorite things in all of comic, television, or film at the moment. So, yeah, no, I like Chris's pick there.
We need you and good Travis.
Travis, do you?
They said you stole mine.
Yeah, I know. Why wasn't he your first though?
Because
you're not a real fan.
Expected it to be my first. I can't do that.
Well,
but I'm gonna go. I'm gonna go with Chadwick Boseman.
Oh yeah,
my man,
the Black Panther. And I'll be honest, not a huge. I'm not gonna say I'm not a huge fan. Well, I'm not. I'm a fan, but I'm not a huge fan. But when they picked Boseman, I heard him in an interview, and he created that dialect that he used, that accent that he has for the Black Panther, for King T'Challa. And I was like, holy shit. I mean, this is, I'll pay for that. That's a holy and shit. That's five. So, I mean, but I was not excited for this movie at all. And I got to watching his interviews, and I was like, man, this dude's bought in. You know, kind of like John Bernthal did in Punisher. Mm-hmm. Like, he's like, I think John Bernthal thinks he's Frank Castle. Which is scary.
Yeah.
But I love that. I love it when they buy in.
The Punisher is a criminal and should be.
Shut up, Phil.
Oh, here you go.
Where's our other
ghost?
He's a murderer.
Right. All right.
Anti-hero. But yeah, Chadwick Boseman. I thought that was perfect casting. Totally sold me. in Civil War. I kind of argue that he was a better Black Panther in Civil War than he was his own movie. I thought everybody else in his own movie outshined him. But in Civil War, he was amazing. So, yeah, I'm totally on board with the Panther after that movie.
All right.
I was afraid you were going to steal mine. Old Man Logan. Old Man. They wouldn't call Old Man Logan. Really, it's just Logan. But yeah, the Old Man Logan, especially after.
I really want.
Everybody's seen it because I'm about to spoil the crap out of it. Especially after Xavier dies, that was just amazing. And then they do the clone where he's playing himself younger.
Not Civil War, but like Winter Soldier, Logan changed the game again. Yeah. Like, it showed you didn't need a lot of money. You just needed great storytelling, still staying very close to the source material as best they could for that kind of story. But I mean, giving Xavier like the greatest, the most powerful mind in the world, like a degenerative disease. I mean, fantastic. I mean, everything about that movie was just amazing.
So I will say, since we are on Logan, it is my number two of my top three.
Yeah.
So about 4 months before Logan came out, I had my first kid, and my father is suffering from dementia. So I went into Logan, you know, wanting a nice
feel good movie. Yeah.
And when everything started to like form as a story, it like destroyed me.
Yeah.
So I didn't know. I don't like westerns. It's a Western.
Oh, yeah.
Shot like an indie film.
And it's Shane, kind of.
The black and white version that came out on the Blu-ray is so good and enhances that movie so much. And it destroyed me. I left that movie just numb. And then when the credits roll and it's Johnny Cash, I was just like,
nope. I'm done.
Someone get me a towel because this is one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Right. So what's your number one, if that's not your number one? Because I struggle with my number one pick, too, and I'm always like...
Guys, we're still talking about heroes, man. You're getting way ahead of the topic here.
No, but he said
there's a movie list. There's a movie list.
Yeah, because that's one of mine, too, but...
You want me to develop?
So, well, Jenna's got to get her last hero in. Who's your last hero, Jenna?
Margot Robbie is Harley Quinn.
What?
Yeah.
Hero?
Yeah. She's a hero in that.
Hey, in the movie we saw, she was the hero of that film.
That's right.
No,
she saved it from being crap.
Yes, she sure did.
No.
That's why she's on the list.
Paul, not a Margot Robbie fan?
What's that?
Not a Quinn fan?
No. I think her portrayal of Quinn is fine. I balk at calling her a hero.
Just fine.
Anti-hero?
Like I would not put Castle or Harley Quinn into the hero category. But I wouldn't necessarily put them in a villain category either. I would make them as honorable mentions.
Because they're both
anti-heroes in their own right.
Yeah.
But
Punisher is a murderer and should be put in jail.
So if somebody saves the world, they're not a hero?
She is arguably the one saving grace of Suicide Squad.
Yes. Yeah.
Boom!
I don't know that I agree with that, my friend.
No.
Waller's
not getting her own movie.
Let me walk this back just a little bit, because I did like Diablo. I thought he was good, too.
Yeah.
He just didn't get enough screen time.
No.
But, yeah, no, I could see that. That makes some sense.
We're not breaking the movie down. We're doing heroes and villains list.
Phil, what was your last pick for a hero? We got to move quick.
It's Dead Logan.
Our Logan, okay. Yeah.
Dead Logan.
And Charles, you got all three of yours out?
Well, I cannot have a hero list without throwing the Hulk out there. I definitely love Ed Norton's Hulk, man. That, to me.
Ed Norton?
Yeah, Ed Norton's Hulk. As a solo film, thank you.
I agree.
Thank you. He gets it. He wore his green pants. He gets it. Yeah, Ed Norton. And the scene that they cut out was where he tries to kill himself and the Hulk bites the bullet.
Yeah,
that was the studio's mistake. And I love it to the point that when they cast, and to be fair, I've had a long weekend and I'm horrible at names. These guys will tell you, the current Hulk Ruffalo. Thank you. When they cast Ruffalo, he called Norton, said, "Hey man," cause they were friends. "Hey man." And Norton's like, "You know what? They were never going to let me do what I wanted to do. Go forth and conquer." And Norton is a great Hulk. They've said he'll never get a solo film, which is, I don't have a dollar. I'm out of cash. I don't have cash, or I'd say what I think it is, but it's crap. Hey, thank Jenny, you're okay. It's bullshit that he's not going to get his own damn movie, man. Come on. That's it. Hope.
All right. My last pick is we decided to include animation. We talked about it last minute. Maybe not everybody got that memo.
I didn't get that memo. I don't care.
But my last pick is Kevin Conroy, Batman.
Well, I didn't.
Thank you. Good night. That's into the panel right there.
In no particular appearance, just for me, of all the Batmans, the one who captures the essence, the tone, always delivers, is never a disappointment. Yeah, that's me.
Yep.
And you realize you're going animated because how can you go Conroy without going Hamill, Joker? I mean,
we're not talking about villains yet.
We're not to villains yet.
I missed that part. That's all.
All right, starting off with villains, my first pick is Hamill Joker, and that's not a joke. For very much the same reason I said about Conroy, somebody who just nails the role every time, captures the essence. I'm not going to wax ecstatic about it. Let's jump down to Travis. Travis, you're a villain.
Villain? Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to
say you are a villain.
Steal it. Thanos.
Yeah. He's my second pick, so I support
that. I might say Thanos could be a hero if you look at it the right way.
I agree.
Sorry?
Thanos did nothing wrong.
Because if he snapped, I would say this panel would go. I'm just saying.
Charles, I'm going to let you finish, but that sounds like some Final Solution type justifications.
I'm the one picking diversity. White males!
I just want to point out that when he snapped, half the dogs went too, okay? That's not a hero.
That hurts. Well, that's what makes him a fantastic villain is we could all kind of maybe not relate to him, but we knew what he was doing. Life is what goes unchecked. I'm going to check it because if not, no one will be around.
Right.
So he's the hero in his story. The Avengers are the bad guys.
That's what makes it complicated, which I liked.
Well, he said it was finite. He said resources are finite. So life isn't. So that's what he could change. I mean, the stones still have limitations. That's what Russo said.
What about you, Jenna?
Mine is actually kind of similar related in that it is Michael B. Jordan as Killmonger.
Ooh.
Yeah, because I did not know if I wanted to root for him or not at that movie. So confusing. Yeah. So good.
He was an honorable mention for me. Thanos is on my list. I think both Thanos and Killmonger established this year that the MCU can finally have some solid villains, because that's been the biggest critique, is that the villains are generally disposable and not very impactful, not relatable. They're both incredible. You understand their perspective. You understand the justifications for that perspective, even if you don't agree with it.
Right.
And that's great storytelling. And the individual performances as well are just incredible. Yeah.
And then they killed him.
Yeah.
Which is the problem with
Marvel Universe. What's yours, Phil?
My number one is Syndrome from The Incredibles. 1,000%.
No.
Shut up.
No, you got to say your Punisher spiel. You want to give your Incredible spiel? Because he got to rag on my Punisher.
I'm kind of over it.
All right.
I mean, the whole backstory of being disappointed by your heroes,
mm-hmm.
and then coming through and you know, just being a shining light for toxic fandom. I think he's one of the greatest. He's one of the greatest villains out there.
Yeah, his platform is like life in 2018.
Yeah.
Phil's absolutely correct. I mean, I was a semi-good person until I, you know, finally met Charles and Paul and then Phil.
Wait, why was Charles your hero?
Why not? This is what you're doing wrong, Phil.
You're right.
What's your villain, Chris? What's your number one villain?
Well, since Paul took him, I'll take Ledger. So
okay,
he's Ledger's Joker.
And Chris, if you want to expand, by all means. But that's one of the interesting things about Joker is we have a great animated version. We have a great film version. Unfortunately, the film version is no longer an option. Wait, what? Oh, so I thought people were about to suggest Jared Leto, and I was going to be like, why?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Chris, did you do yours yet?
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, it's, I mean, it's just that take on Joker. I mean, there was that dark malevolence that was just under this anarchist that he portrayed so very well. Like, he's going to do things the way he thinks they need to be done because why not? I really wish Heath would have stuck around. I would have liked to see what they would have done with him in the next movie. I think I think that he would have played a big part. That's a Joker that you honestly had no idea what he was going to do next. With the Hamill Joker, you got the crazy, you got the classic Joker, and he played it to a T, but you could always figure out what he was going to do next. Ledger, there's no telling.
We need Gary Busey to be the next Joker. or Willem Dafoe. One of the two.
Yeah.
I think Dafoe could do it.
The Willem Dafoe from Boondock Saints, the new Joker. Yes, thank you.
Not the Willem Dafoe from Spider-Man?
I can't. I don't have the money to tell you to F off, Chris. Hey,
don't write no checks you can't get.
Animation, Batman animated series, Clayface. I love, thank you, everything about Clayface.
I am
sitting here watching, when every time they announce a new Batman-related film, and I'm like, come on, we've got the technology now to make it look amazing. Give me Clayface, and give me a great voice actor, because you don't need an actor, you just need a voice actor. And one day maybe we'll get it, but the BTS Clayface was my villain.
I think you need to be careful when you use the royal we, because you still got to bear in mind that you're talking about Warner Brothers when you say the technology to make it look.
Yeah, I mean, Warner Brothers can't edit a mustache off, you know?
That's true.
I'm going to jump to my last one because, as I said, Hamill Joker, MCU Thanos were on other people's list as well. Mine's a double spot. Both versions of Magneto.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Definitely.
And I think it's really exceptional because how difficult is it to portray a character in an established universe, and then how difficult is it for the person who comes in behind to play the younger version, and then connect them in a film and still both be awesome and feel authentic?
McAvoy's the same way. Yeah. Well, same with McAvoy in the same thing. It's believable. Yeah. It's amazing.
Chemistry between the old Patrick Stewart and Ian McKellen is so wonderful.
Yeah.
And
because it's real. It's real.
Oh, well, I know it's real, but the chemistry between McAvoy and
Fassbender
is just the same.
Yeah.
It's so good. They work so well together.
Phil, how about you?
So, I will say the Vulture. It's great. Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
I won't dwell on that much because I want to say the comedian from The Watchmen is in my top. Yeah, thank you for that smattering of applause. Well, the comedian in the director's cut.
When you get Daddy Winchester, he's good in everything.
Yeah, you're not wrong. No.
Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays that character so perfect. Well. So well. And you can call him an anti-hero, but he's not. He's a straight up villain. He killed, you know, that
he's a rapist.
Well, yep.
And
family
he,
time.
He killed the lady in the bar. He tried to rape his fellow, you know, hero and friend. He's a monster.
He is a monster.
And the gentleman Jeffrey Dean Morgan plays him perfectly.
And that's got to be how he got the part of Negan. It's got to be.
It has to be.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. So
because you want to still like the comedian.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
He does all this horrific stuff like Negan does, but you still like the guy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, I do. I love it. My wife reminds me all the time. He bashed Glenn's head in with the bat. And I'm like, I know, but he's so cool. I really want to drink a beer with Negan. I don't know. Cool.
I like how there's no mention of Abraham. It's like, who?
Yeah.
Who? Nope. Gingers get no love. Jenna.
Yes.
Why don't you run through the rest of your villains list?
Yeah, I got Tom Hiddleston as Loki. Don't start with me.
Everybody.
Okay. And Kate Blanchett.
But we do need a female Loki in the movies.
Kate Blanchett
as Hela is.
Yeah, Kate Blanchett was phenomenal.
She can do anything.
Yeah.
She's wonderful.
So, in regards to that, I know there are some people who didn't really care for how her story and background was kind of a melding of multiple characters. But despite that, she was great.
Oh, yeah.
Like, her performance was great. The character, if you look at it strictly as a film and the characters in the films, she was awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know? Yeah, it
yes.
Trav, you got another one on your list?
Dude. You took all of them.
Well, that was probably going to happen.
This little cup right here, and I'm just marking them off. I guess I'll go Zod.
Kneel before Zod.
I'll go.
Wow.
Get him Michael out Shannon of here. Zod. Just gone.
That's a bold one.
Chris says you're so lame.
Right. I mean, dude, my list is short anyway. I mean, but I thought he did a fantastic. The intensity that he brought to that role. It's like when he's on the screen, I'm like, he's gonna yell at me, or like he's gonna hit me. I don't want Zod to hit me. But I mean, if you've seen him in other stuff, he's got such range. And I I'm very, I don't know. I guess I'm a cast skeptic, because when people get cast, I hear names, I'm like, yeah, he can't do it. Yeah, that's not going to be good. And I'm always wrong, almost always wrong.
Sure.
And Michael Shannon he nailed it for me. Like, that, I thought Man of Steel was a great movie. Like, I loved Man of Steel. Just for the action alone, but I thought the acting was really great.
You got a cross time zone eye roll.
I knew I did.
But I'm with you, bro.
Big man yes, talking, but I'm not in the room with him. That's
I'm with you, bro.
How that works.
Charles, you got one more on your list?
Well, Chris, you got one more on your list before I go? Before I do my last one?
Yeah. Guys, my last two were both from TV. First is Cottonmouth, and then, you know, I Am Negan. Because both of those were portrayed by those actors phenomenally.
Cottonmouth was.
What was the third one?
Negan.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, Cottonmouth was incredible.
Yeah.
It just absolutely insane. Yeah. And so wasted.
Yeah.
Like you know.
Thrown away, yeah.
Yeah, thrown away too soon.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm going to jump to my last one. All the honorable mention is Mariah. You know, in there, because she killed Cottonmouth, and the way her second arc ended and did all that, I thought she did. My last villain, greatest villain of all time, fandom on the internet is the greatest villain of all time. No, has to, but it's true. Let me redo the last Jedi. I'm gonna do it better. You're not gonna do it better, moron. Just move on to another film. Go rewatch your last three that you love. Stop trying to hate, because it ain't gonna get you nowhere.
Don't applaud his.
Don't encourage this man. Boo this man. Boo.
Shame.
All right. So we got a few minutes left here. We got about 20 minutes.
Well, really, it would actually be Joffrey. I mean, come on. That dude was evil through and through.
We're going to dig into movies. We're going to do our top three movies. We're going to try to get to have our top one worst of each category as well. So let's hit movies. Travis, hit me with your first one.
What we're doing? Worst movie?
No, good. Best movie.
Best hero movie.
Best superhero movie?
Lightning round. Best superhero movie. Let him think about it.
Jenna.
I'm gonna have to go with Hellboy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You're right.
What'd she say?
She said Hellboy.
Hellboy.
Everybody in that movie is just spectacular, and anytime you get to see Doug Jones be Doug Jones,
it's good.
It's just so good.
Yeah, absolutely. Phil?
So, I know this is not a popular opinion, but
somebody give me a bottle to throw.
Charles, hey, I remind you, we don't throw bottles.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2 is my favorite movie.
Yes,
out of all of them.
Ooh.
And I know that it's very specific to me, but so I'm adopted, and that whole movie is about a kid. Aww.
Oh, don't.
Aww.
I was a throwaway baby. Aww.
Oh, my God.
So it hit me in a weird way watching the relationship between Quill and
Ego
and Yondu. It destroyed me.
Yeah.
And it's a movie that really shouldn't have worked. You're doing Ego, the living
right.
planet,
yeah,
and
it worked.
It
yeah.
worked perfectly.
It did.
And Kurt Russell was the tits in that movie.
He was.
Wonderful.
He was.
So that's why that's my number one.
For myself, we already kind of talked about Logan. Same reasons for Logan. Just came out of nowhere. You know, the latest X film in a series of, largely mediocre. Even the good ones are still kind of rough around the edges. Yeah. Chris is a big proponent of saying the older ones don't hold up. And I've started to come around to that opinion as well. But Logan was a breath of fresh air. It was stripped down, you know, just like, let's get into the raw story of these couple characters. Let's take out a lot of the spectacle and the, you know, it's easy with mutants to just like try to focus on all the powers and everything. And that's not what that movie was about. And it had real heart and real killer performances. And it was really the capstone to an era.
Yeah.
But the sleeper hit that came out of nowhere, Black Panther.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, not only was it unexpectedly amazing, and it was pretty well paced, but the cultural relevance, like seeing people come out of the woodwork for months to go see that movie. We talk about this stuff all the time on this show, and we're always talking about what's doing hot in the box office week to week for the most part. And Black Panther would crush stuff that had just come out week after week for like a month and a half. And nothing does that anymore, except for like Star Wars and MCU main movies, and not the side movies. Because right. Ant-Man and the Wasp, good movie, but didn't do that.
No.
You know what I mean? Many of the other, you know, solo films did not do that. Absolutely crushed it. Established a whole part of the MCU world that is, I just want another dozen movies in Wakanda or around Wakanda.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, it's just amazing. And everybody in it, like some of the best casting.
Yeah. I would go see a Man-Ape movie.
Oh yeah!
I walked through
yeah.
the
oh, yeah.
see
yeah.
Man-Ape movie. That's yeah. how I mean. I love that dude.
Yeah, that no, that was incredible. Charles, how about you?
Thomas Jane's Punisher. That's my for kind of the same reason that Phil liked his. My family was murdered by the mob. I had to kill everybody. It was very relatable to me. I understood it. And but honestly,
oh, your family. So,
hey,
I get one. All right, but it was. I always have loved the Punisher for opposites. I mean, he hates the Punisher. I love it for some reason. I got it. I won't go into long stories. We got to get the rest of it. But we tell long stories on our show. You should tune into it, Breaking the Panel. But I loved it. But it was that acoustic song in the middle of it that just locked that in for me forever. That was done by Saliva's lead singer, wrote that. I can't remember what it is now, but great movie. All right.
All right, bad taste in movies, bad taste in music.
No, but also that that
bad taste in co-hosts.
Popsicle scene was like the best.
Yeah, oh, that was yes,
so good.
Yes.
Right, I got
Trav. You got yours?
Yeah, I got mine. But I have to preface it.
Oh,
right. I know. Bear with me.
All right.
All right. Avengers 1 has been one of my favorite movies of all time because I never thought I would ever in my lifetime see a movie where Thor and Hulk fight on a helicarrier. I get to see Cap and Iron Man and Thor in the same shot.
Yeah.
Loki was amazing. I mean, just everything about that. I, you know, you always leave a movie going, man, I wish they would have done this. And I couldn't leave that movie say anything about it. Like, it just blew all my expectations away. Then I seen Winter Soldier, and I thought, oh, my God, it's a game changer. Superhero movies can be an espionage movie, too, or, you know, a Maturian Candidate kind of type of deal. But this is going to be very unpopular because it's new. But when I left the movie theater, the only thing I can think of is this is a masterpiece. That's Infinity War.
Yeah.
Infinity War was, I mean, Thanos. Unless you were a comic book fan, nobody knew anything about Thanos. You've seen him in a couple cut scenes. Wow, he's got, you know, he's kind of got like a nutsack on his chin. He's weird looking. You know,
that's
like,
fair. That's
you know,
fair.
Who And now we're going to base a movie on him, and all this is riding on this one guy that no one really knows anything about. And not only in Jim Starlin, who's the Thanos creator, who he was always one of my favorite comic book villains, I should say, the movie did him better than the comics ever did. And, I mean, how many times can you say that? Because you always leave going, the comic book character's better. He was a nihilist. He was trying to impress death. And in here, again,
they're nihilists,
sympathize
dude.
With him.
Yeah.
They don't believe in anything.
He has a reason. And you're like, yeah, we do kind of suck and tear shit up, right? So I got it.
No.
I put a 5 in earlier. Give me a break.
Ding, ding, ding.
Hey, you take it over
Infinity War. Infinity War is probably my favorite.
Do we get Chris's?
Chris.
Yo. No surprise. I'm going to say Superman. Superman in the movie. I mean, it was the mold. It was the mold that the ones fit into, and the ones that break the mold break that mold. I mean, it's the benchmark, no matter how you look at it. Number two is going to round out to be Guardians of the Galaxy 2, and then Civil War after that.
Oh, nice. See, okay. Nice. So do you want to expand on any of those for a second?
So Guardians of the Galaxy 2, similar to Phil, but for me, the message that came through is you can pick your family. You really can. You choose the people that you surround yourself with and that you are vulnerable with and in front of. And that's you pick your family. Civil War, it was our first glimpse at what they can do with multiple heroes in one movie, in a bigger story than just the beat 'em up versus, you know, a clear cut bad guy. I mean, this was a great picture all the way through. You had to choose sides, and you had to see things through Cap's eyes, trying to protect his best friend from his new friend. Just amazing storytelling all around.
Yeah,
awesome. Yeah,
I actually Civil War is one of mine, and so I was kind of split because I really wanted to put Winter Soldier on here. It, for the same reasons that you were talking about, Trav, you know, it's an espionage movie with superheroes. But, like, if you took the Marvel label off and all the other stuff, it's a great film. It really entertaining. And the fact that it could be adapted into the Marvel universe was incredible. But Civil War was the team-up movie with equal amounts of incredible action and team-up scenes and also drama. Right. You know, the divide between these two characters we've been following forever and the people who are choosing their allegiances, which breaks their own hearts. You can see it. Every single one of them is like, I don't know what to do, but they choose sides for their own reasons. And like by the end of that film, I was just like hollowed out, you know?
When I found out that Cap actually knew that Bucky had killed Tony's parents, like he's known this whole time. And then when he tells him at the end, the look on, you know, Stark's face, it's like, oh God. Yeah. Like, you really don't know who to side with at that point. You don't really want to ever feel sorry for Stark either. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
right?
No.
He's just kind of an asshole. You love him. You know what I mean? But when he said that in Tony's face, I was like, oh God.
Yeah.
That's heartbreaking. So yeah, Civil War had some excellent moments,
too. And that's the moment where you see, like, the bro love just fall apart.
Yeah, that's the breakup scene, man.
Like the huge just schism that, you know.
That we still have right now.
Right.
Even with Infinity War, they're not back yet. Civil War had ramifications for several movies.
Charles, how about you? What was, round out your list.
Okay, I had them. You know what? That is a good one. You know what? You're right. Thank you. Deadpool's one of my favorites. I'm tired. I was like, crap.
Come on. Deadpool. Deadpool.
You know, and you know, I can't do a BTP and talk about
movie pass.
What is greatest villain of all time, movie pass. What makes a superhero? Something not of this world, something that's non-human, something that maybe transforms.
Yeah, it's the mask too. We got it.
Something that maybe transforms into other things. Transformers, by all means, I love them. I love Transformers.
Did you say Transformers is one of your movies?
Yeah, baby. I love Transformers.
Yeah, I love them too.
He's a dick, right?
That's great. No, I mean, yeah, that was kind of out of the box. I'm proud of you, Charles. That's a good one.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I can't agree with Transformers. No. We'll talk about that on a future episode.
We don't have the time.
Yeah, we don't.
You're an idiot.
Phil, write out your list.
The Toxic Avenger.
Yeah!
It's
wonderful and is... I saw it when I was very young.
Same.
And it's fucked me up since. I'll give $10 for the Toxic Avenger. It was fun. I'm a big Troma person, so anything that Troma puts out is wonderful, but the Toxic Avenger is so good.
Toxic.
Yeah, and then there's that one scene where the people go joyriding to kill people, and they get a close-up shot of a head exploding. That's wonderful. Everything about it's wonderful.
Well, see, it's the heartwarming film of the year.
Yeah, with that entry, I want to amend my list to add A Clockwork Orange.
Okay. That's a good movie.
It's a good movie.
Was that Wolf? Sorry. What's that?
Did I miss both, or was that one out of two?
Well, we talked about Logan before.
Oh, right. So. Yeah, sorry. Jenna, how about you? Did we get your whole list?
Black Panther, yep. Obvious reasons, and The Dark Knight.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, that was on my list.
Yep. Good.
Travis, did we get all of yours?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Cool.
Charles, Chris, we got all yours. All right.
Yep.
Chris is Superman 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
That's his top three right there.
All right. So we got about 6 minutes to get through our top pick for the worst in each category. Let's start with hero down at Travis. What is the worst superhero film portrayal of a hero?
So we're doing films and not TV.
You can do TV.
You can do TV.
Yeah. TV's such an easy one, so I'm not doing it.
I know. Are you going? I think I know where you're going. Don't be cheap.
You know I'm
going
to go there. I'm not even going to get started on it.
Don't be cheap.
I will go Fantastic Four as worst.
Oh, yeah. for your movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's your hero though? What's the worst?
Oh, worst hero.
Worst portrayal of a hero.
Oh, God. Dude, I can't get it out of my head.
And keep
now.
In mind, this could be writing. Dude, this could be thing. Performance. I
can't whatever get it out you of my want. Head. Whatever
it's
you want.
Got to be Iron Fist.
Yeah. Oh. I knew that's what you were going to say.
And, you know,
but you're not wrong.
I'm such an Iron Fist fan. That's the reason it pains me. Like, I actually have pain in my heart right now because I love Iron Fist. No awes for pain in my heart? Okay. That's cool. Tough crowd. There you go. Thanks.
You didn't talk about being adopted.
I mean, yeah, right. Well, I did talk about my trip to Kunlun and, you know, fighting Shao Lao. And
I'm the immortal dragon. Iron Fist.
I would be a way better Iron Fist than Danny Rand or Finn Jones. But it's just so bad. I mean, like, it's so awful. Like, I don't even want to talk about it.
Jenna?
Oh, come on. There's so many bad ones. I'm really going to say Nick Cage's Ghost Rider.
No! Nick Cage.
We got to back on that.
Come on, Nick Cage.
So this.
Oh no, I ain't coming at you at all. You whip my ass.
This is Charles's Julius Caesar moment. When the blades just start. Nick Cage.
Nick Cage is up in this prime.
I mean, come on, it's a meme. Like it is such a meme. Those movies are fine for like they're bad movies. They're fun to watch. There's entertainment value there, but they're not good.
They lit a motorcycle on fire and he had a skull on his head.
Listen,
it's the movie.
Bad movies can be good if they're fun to watch and laugh at. And the Ghost Rider movies absolutely qualify for that list. Phil,
right.
Worst hero.
Topher Grace as Eddie Brock.
Good one.
Yeah. Good one. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Awful. Awful. The whole movie, awful.
Yeah.
Everything about that.
Yeah.
And they had me by the balls so strong after Spider-Man 2. It was wonderful. And I was
really?
I loved it. I loved it. I don't care. It's so good. Doc Ock in that movie, hands down, is wonderful.
All right.
But yeah. Oh,
so mine's a little controversial.
Like every show.
Yeah.
Huh? Rogue.
Rogue.
Anna Paquin.
Yeah.
I hated it.
Yeah. It was bad.
I hated everything about it.
It was bad.
I felt like she ruined one of the best X-Men. Yeah.
It was so bad, got so much hate. Even Geek Versus won't talk about it, and they hate everything. Yeah.
Charles, what's yours?
God, I blinked again. I had it. Spider-Man. I hate it. Hate everything about the original Spider-Man with...
Tobey Maguire.
And he's the worst hero because
I'm the Spider-Man.
And then say it. I dare you to say it. I dare you to say what I hate about that
With
film.
Great power comes great responsibility.
Shut up, Chris.
So Charles is not a big fan of Spider-Man. He's not a big fan of Uncles.
They're just, they run that stupid trope into the ground all the time. Great responsibility, great power. Shut up and shoot some webs at some faces, dude.
Not
Come
a big
on.
Fan of responsibility.
Yeah. I don't want to learn a lesson. I just want you to hit people.
Yeah.
Right.
Transform, damn it.
Get out of here, you dumbass.
Chris, I know exactly what you're going to say. It's going to be the same thing you've said for every other category. Go ahead.
But unfortunately,
I don't want to say that you all were wrong because I know opinions are opinions, but none of you said Inhumans, so you're all wrong.
Yes!
I would have to watch Inhumans to actually.
Yeah, I'm not watching that.
No, you actually don't. You do not have to watch it to still hate it.
Not more than it's 5 minutes.
All right. What's your worst hero? That's the show. What's your worst hero?
They are all tied. every Inhuman that was on that show is tied for the worst portrayal.
All right, that's fair.
All right, we have 1 minute. Travis, worst villain, worst movie. Okay, Jenna, we'll get back to you. This is lightning round time. Worst villain, worst movie.
Worst villain is Stuart Townsend as Dorian Gray in League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Okay,
I can see that. Terrible.
And that was bad.
It's a duo for worst film for me, and it is Dawn of Justice and Civil War at the same time.
No!
Yes.
I had so much respect for you.
Phil.
I thought we were doing worst villain before, so...
Okay, what's your worst hero then?
I don't care.
You don't care. What's your worst movie?
Spider-Man 3 or X-Men 3.
Okay, all right. Yeah, that makes sense. My worst villain is Deadpool from Wolverine Origins.
Yeah.
The first half was fine, but the second half can't be beaten as how to completely destroy a character. And my worst film is X-Men Last Stand.
All right.
My worst hero, Tommy Lee Jones' Two-Face. I hated everything about it. And the same, I think it's the same film, but Batman and Robin. Effing hated it. It was like Xena Warrior Princess. Instead of a physical arc when you jump, it's across the street kicking. I hated that film.
Okay. Chris, worst film?
The cave troll from BVS.
BVS?
Yep.
No, the cave troll from BVS was
cave
my
troll.
Worst.
Cave troll.
Abomination. Abomination. Called Abomination the cave troll.
What's your worst movie?
Inhumans.
He's not even good. All right, we're going to wrap this up. We do Breaking the Panel every week. It comes out. I forget. We do some live shows.
We've done over 100 episodes, and he forgets how often we do it.
Well, no. We do some live shows. I'm about to say every week live. We don't do it live. We record it. It goes to our good man, Jonathan, to edit, and then to Mike Werner to produce. But we do Breaking the Panel. You can get it on iTunes, everywhere else. You should listen to it because... We will take the news. We'll take the humanity. We'll have what you guys are doing here. We spawn conversations, and that's what we want to do. Travis, where can they find you on the web?
Blazing Defender Report. Blazing Defender Report, Facebook, Instagram, iTunes.com, Blazing Defender Report. You'll find it.
Jenna.
Panelology Podcast, and mine's at Yerk Podcast, YERK. It's an Animorphs podcast. And I'm all over the internet. I'm all over the internet.
You can find me at Botch Podcast. It's a comedy D&D show. Or you can follow me on Twitter at Imaginary Nomad.
You can find me on Breaking the Panel, this show, every week, as well as FTH Beyond, which we stream every Thursday night on Twitch. You can find all of the great shows on our network, the Giant Size Team Up Network, at GiantSizeTeamUp.com. And you can catch me on Twitter at SoapboxGSU and tweet me quickly because I only check it during drag.
Yeah.
I'm barely kidding.
Yeah, Chris, where can I find you?
You can find me in all things wisdom.
Redacted.
In all things wisdom over on Twitter and Christoph Wisdom at Facebook.
Yeah, and he'll be back. He'll be back in the spring. We look forward to it so much. I am the Rock God of Podcasting. Thank you for the one woo for Chris. Awesome. I'm the Rock God of Podcasting. It's rockgodofpodcasting.com, charlesmcfall.com, touches all of the projects that I do. That's really a promotional hire me website. But if you forget what shows I'm on, everything's there. Giant Size Team Up, the stuff these guys listed. And at Rock Got a Pod on Twitter. Thank you all for being here. We love you so much. Woo! Put some money in the jar. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
The one panel.
Love you, Chris.
Love you too, guys.
Breaking the Panel is the flagship podcast on the Giant Size Team Up Network. You can support the show at patreon.com/breakingthepanel, and you'll find more of our amazing podcasts at giantsizeteamup.com.